The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your drinking JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
You are recording, and I will leave you to do what I do best. Nothing.
Yes, JC.
That's right, you're not busy at all.
JC's contribution, wow. People don't have any idea. JC's role.
Not a clue.
In this show. In this production. Just to be clear for those of you spiteful people who've made comments. Not many, but some. Mm-hmm. JC is not here for his insights in soccer. He's here for his production, his editing, his voice, his creativity, his humor. That's what JC is here for. And trust me, if we rank the importance of people on this podcast, JC's number one. We're fucked without JC.
Yeah.
To be very clear.
Yeah. Footy Prime is a JC joint.
Yes.
It really
exactly.
is.
Mm-hmm. Just so you all know, okay? Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's Footy Prime. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. And I thought Jimmy was in a cubicle, but he's not. He's just got the big York chair behind him, and that presents like a cubicle, perhaps. Hey, Jimmy. Hey, Craig. Dubsy's here as well. No Wonga today. We had the greatest Wonga excuse this morning. Dubs, do you want to regale what the email, the text this morning from the Wongaton was? Oh. Dubsy is on the phone. She might be getting some breaking news. She's muted. Okay, I'll fill in. So Wonga is in Ottawa this week. His buddy's being inducted into the Ottawa Sports Hall of Fame, I think. So you can imagine the festivities. And you can imagine Wonga on the floor of that event last night, to the point where he's staying at his brother's. But last night, he couldn't get into his brother's house. Lost his keys. Spent the entire night in the yard, in the garden. Didn't get a wink of sleep, so he says, and therefore cannot make the podcast today. How very Wonga is that?
There's nothing more Wonga than that. Can I read it verbatim, what he wrote on the dark web?
Please.
Because you're leaving for Charlotte today, so you're like, okay, we need to be on. This is the timing of the pod this morning. Daniel Wong, love that. I was locked out of my brother's house and slept in the backyard. I have not slept. Have to miss this one. Apologies. Like, there's never been a more Wonger excuse for missing a pod.
Yeah. How many people at that event last night, Craig, do you think now know that Dan Wong was at the FIFA draw for the World Cup?
Everyone.
Everyone. Everyone. Anyway, Wonger.
I was thinking, did he try to knock or anything? Like,
that's what I thought. You know, my buddy
weird
Scott.
Pinky to Jimmy the Lock.
Before, yeah. My buddy Scott, I mentioned before on this show, recently went out with some friends, had a little bit too much to drink, and again, lost his keys, or so he thought, and didn't want to. His wife is Mrs. Chrissy. She's fantastic. She knows Scott. Obviously, she knows him, but he's got form as far as enjoying himself and doing silly things. So he feared knocking on the door, so he spent the entire night firstly in his hot tub. He fell asleep.
Oh no.
Yeah. And then in his shed. And then this was like 2 months ago when it was cold, freezing cold. And next morning he eventually gets up. He can't find his phone either, has no phone. And he knocks on the door and down comes Chrissy. You idiot. What have you done this time? And he gets in and then he checks his jacket pocket and finds his keys and his phone. That's why you don't have 11 on the way out.
Oh dear.
Anyway, enough of that. Comments, Dubs. We've got lots of great comments.
We do.
Show. It might be a slightly shorter show today. I've got to jump in about 25 minutes. You guys can continue. Feel free or not.
100% not.
Okay. Let's get to it. Let's get some comments. So obviously a big week for Canadian football. The squad announcement is on Friday. We had Jesse Marsh signing a 4-year contract. The 32-man squad announced for Charlotte. of course, but prior to Edmonton and then Montreal and then back to Toronto for the World Cup itself. And yeah, lots of great discussion on the interwebs.
We'll start with this one because this was related to us prognosticating about whether or not Jesse Marsh would stick around and like percentage given what's the likelihood of him being around for another 4 years. So this is from John Borg on Twitter. And he said, just out of the discussion, did you catch KJ's interview with Jesse? He mentioned his contract being tied to Kevin and even having contractual guarantees tied to Kev staying. Does that change your outlook or percentage?
Interesting. Craig, so I haven't seen the interview yet. I will. So the insinuation is that he's there so long as Kevin Blue's there. Is that what it is?
I think so, yeah.
Hmm. So maybe, yeah, the percentage of Kevin Blue staying, might, in my opinion, might be increased and then, which is great.
That's a good take. So I was straight away going, does that mean Jesse Marsh's percentage has dropped? But you're saying Kevin Blues has increased. I like that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it changes Jesse Marsh's situation.
Okay, but when we're talking about the contract negotiations, and this was talked about late in 2025, right? This isn't new. It was maybe like November when Jesse's contract extension was tabled or was made public. So in those negotiations, is Kevin on one side of the table as CEO, general secretary? Then he scurries over to the other side and he's like, no, like if we're going to sign this contract, it has to be the two of us for four more years. And then he scoots around to the other side of the table and he's like, okay, Jesse, like these are the terms. And he's like playing two roles.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe it's a mirror or something.
Yes.
They could use a mirror. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jimmy, you've been at the executive level of football. Having a coach or two people intertwined like that, is that commonplace? Is it normal? Is it rare?
Yeah, it's a good working relationship. I think that's what you expect and what you want. And if agreement's going to be put in place and the contract's going to be signed by the managers, don't forget, it's got to get passed by a board, right? The board's got to agree to it. It's not just Kevin just going, oh, here, I'm going to give you this and we'll find money. No, it's got to be presented to the board. This is what's going to happen. This is what I want to do. I want to offer him this contract. Can we afford this? Can we put this together? Yes, yes, yes. And then the offer goes in place. So that's how it's going to work.
What's your opinion on the deal being signed? We all agreed that, you know, you can get it done now. We saw actually Steve Clark in Scotland do the same thing yesterday. What's your thoughts, Jimmy? I know before you were a little bit wary about signing a manager before a World Cup.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of, you know, going back and forth a little bit, wasn't I? I was like, you know, maybe do you do it? Do you not do it? And you got to weigh out the pros and cons. But I think with this now, I think everybody can agree with Jesse. With what he's done to the players that he's brought in, what he does off the pitch as well across this country, he does an awful lot of work in helping grow this game. And I think he's got a great deal of respect by a lot of people across the country. And I think it just gives him some stability and also the national team's stability as well, knowing that we've got a manager that's going to be in place for the next few years, or next cycle, really. So, yeah, look, I agree with it. When you look at the big picture, who else are you going to get? You know, if you get rid of Jesse, then you want a top manager. You're going to be spending millions and millions of dollars that we don't have. And I think the manager that Jesse is right now, he is a very good manager. And I think we probably got him at the right price as well, that, you know, suited him, suited our budget. So I think it's a good deal. I'm glad he's in place now for the next number of years.
On that, I'm going to load in a comment. But before that, Jimmy, when you're talking, I think that your mic is rubbing against your collar. So this is from Boxbury on YouTube. I'll state the obvious here, but you guys changed your tune on signing Marsh as per your question, Sharms, based on early podcasts. I suppose there are plenty of opportunities for Marsh outside of Canada. And if we lock him in, we can set a long-term plan in place through to 2030. It's also a good deal for Marsh as he can live in Italy, still make a good salary and have some stability and future. So exactly what you're saying, Jimmy.
And that's a good point too about living in Italy. He's allowed to live away from the country that he's working. Not all nations would allow that or would want that. It works absolutely fine for him because so many players are based in Europe. It actually kind of makes sense, quite honestly.
Yeah.
doesn't it, having a European-based coach for a squad that more and more will have European-based players. So that's a valid point. Did we – I don't think we were anti-Jesse signing, though. Maybe we discussed it. Maybe
No, we weren't anti.
No.
We weren't anti.
I think if anything –
we were pros and cons, weren't we?
I agree, yeah. Jimmy. We weighed up both kind of sides of it, like what would be, you know, advantageous for Canada, the development, projecting forward, and then also locking him in. I think we were just realistic about what that meant for the program.
Yeah.
Maybe a little anti-American at the time. I'll agree on that.
Yeah.
All of us. Certainly Craig was.
Yeah, not all of us.
Yeah, settle down. I'm going there today. They'll hear this. Well,
hey, he's done a good job. And you know, we have to – I think there's no proven way to do things to be successful. Look at club level. Look at the clubs in the Premier League. They just chop and change managers, you know, one after another. Spurs, Chelsea, Man United. Like, they've just gone through managers, good managers, one after another. And I don't think that that's useful either. So if you've got somebody that you like, works well with the team, the association, it's a pretty cozy little situation. I've got no issues with it once whatsoever. And I think we all agree he's a good coach, and I think he'll get the best out of this team in the World Cup and in the future as well. So I'm pretty happy about it.
On that, Sharms, if we transition a little bit from the contract extension to the nature of the roster and Marsh's influence on that. So this is from TFCNU on YouTube again. My biggest concern with the extension is that he won't move away from his Copa America core quickly enough. We've seen him put his thumb on the scales for guys like Crippo and Schaffelberg already, and the calendar for the next cycle doesn't leave much time to reset. So he just mentions Nations League, Gold Cup, 8 matches of World Cup qualifying in Copa America between now and July 2028. So I wanted to hear Jimmy and Forrest on that, about Marsh's maybe lack of diversification in terms of who is included in his roster.
Well, I think if you look at his previous squad, there's 11 players that were in the squad before the last World Cup that aren't in the squad in this World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So that shows that he's changed and he's bringing in different players. And I think it's totally different. I mean, 11 players
mm-hmm.
are not at this one compared to the other one. So, no, I think he's doing the right thing. He's bringing in fresh faces, some young blood, some players that play a different role, not all the same. So, look, I like the squad that he's putting together.
Shall we go through, Craig, the squad very quickly from Copa? Let's do that, because, I mean, it's 2 years ago, right? So, Dane Sinclair, Alistair Johnston, Luke de Fougerolle, Kamal Miller, he's gone, Joel Waterman, Sam Payet was that?
Piet
was there. Which
Payet, you just got high in his head.
Yeah, I know, I'm just in my head.
That's your Sharman's proper bias.
But Sam Payet, he's no longer part of the program. Stephen Eustachio, Ishmael Kone, Carl Aaron, John David, Theo Bear, he's not there. Jason Russell Rowe, we're going to find out on Friday. Derek Cornelius, Schaffelberg, Moise Bembido, Max, Tejon, Tom McGill. He's no longer, right now, at least currently, in contention. Fonzie, Ali Ahmed, Ozo, Richie, Liam Miller, Matthew Schwanier, Tani, and Carl Hibert. He's out. So there's 3 or 4 players that aren't there, but it was a young team. The core back then was young.
Mm-hmm.
It's still pretty young, really. So I don't get the, you know, not moving on from that core at all. I don't understand that.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand either. Because, you know, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, you had David Weatherspoon, you had Mark Anthony Kay, Ike Ukpo, Lucas
EK,
whatever. EK. Lucas Cavallini.
We will keep on and proud. Yeah,
Lucas Cavallini.
You had Lucas Cavallini.
Jeez.
Right. Yeah. Sam Payet.
Oh, come on.
I had to. But you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of players that we had that are no longer within the squad. Stephen Victoria, he was also a part of it back then.
Yeah.
3-4 years ago.
Like, who do you move out then?
The squad has changed.
I mean, I appreciate the comment. I do, but I don't know who you move on. We haven't got this incredible wave of a golden generation. There's some good players coming through and players we don't even know about yet, which is exciting. Mm-hmm. But it's not as if we're Spain or we're France or England have this wealth of incredible world-class talent just waiting, nipping at the heels of these broken down veterans. We haven't got any broken down veterans. They're all youngsters, mm-hmm. or at least in their prime.
Yeah.
I think there's a great variety within this roster and a good balance of the youth, you know, and the competition, the doubling up of positions, pushing on or pushing out longstanding veterans. Like that has been an MO of Jesse Marsh for a long time. And just a reminder for our listeners that reading out your comment is not an endorsement. It's just good fodder for pod discussion. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean that we agree with it. Yes, of course we do. And it's good to hear because sometimes it, for me anyway, I'm just like, oh, I never thought about it that way. Mm-hmm. But again, doesn't mean that we necessarily agree.
I mean, I think maybe the opinion was more centered around, you mentioned Max, and did you mention Dane? I forget now. I mentioned Max, the goalkeepers.
Who are both still in their prime. And Schaff. Those and are the two players Schaff, you mentioned.
He's interesting. He's still a young guy, Schaff. Mm-hmm. And he's still in rehab right now. Rehab, physical rehab, just to be clear. He's not training fully, I don't think. He's not training fully. And he's a bubble player. If you look at the mm-hmm. availability of who might make this squad on Friday. There's a chance that Scheffenberg doesn't make this squad because he hasn't had a chance to show, I don't think, Jesse, what he... I mean, even though he's been playing minutes, actually, at LAFC, right? He has been doing that.
But he's suffered a setback again recently.
Yeah, yeah. So, and again, he's not an old guy. In fact, he's still young. He's still, in my mind, it feels like... It's unfair. To me, it feels like he's still emerging on the international scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, but you know, but with a player like that, I think you need him. And like I said before, you can't have 26 players all the same. You need everybody to be a little bit different, somebody that brings something different to the pitch. And I think if you know, you had, say, for instance, Ali Ahmed was running at me all game and he's going inside, outside, the way that Ali plays. And the last 20 minutes, you bring Schaff on, this direct guy that just wants to go full intensity all the time. As a defender, I'm going, Jesus, I don't need this right now. You know, it's just, you have to have variety.
Yeah.
You know?
Too bad they're all left wingers.
Yeah.
You've got Flores there too in the left, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
The right. A lot of these guys can play.
Like Liam Miller. Yeah, you can flip Miller, another guy, sides. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I agree with Jimmy about Schaff. Right, yeah. Yeah, for sure. That verticality in his game, I don't think there's anybody in terms of their player profile. And as Jimmy's saying, you need all kinds of different ones in order to construct your squad. So there's, you know, a variety of threats, especially in the way that you're attacking, if we're talking about that front line. And he just gives you this ruthless ability. You look at his strike rate. We're talking about Promise David's strike rate. Like Jacob Schaffelberg has scored some big goals for country. Yeah. And I think the way that he slots into Marsh's system is going to be very difficult. I think even though he is a bubble player, he's on the fringes because based on his form, based on, you know, the way he's kind of fallen off since that Gold Cup match where he got picked up two yellows. He's been battling, but I think he slots in wonderfully. And I think it might be a mistake if he's healthy to leave him off this roster.
The concern was just for me, I have more defenders in this squad because of those injuries and cover. So you got to drop someone somewhere. I want to see him there, trust me, because he's such a fun player to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's a good conversation. And we're going to find out on Friday, once and for all, and then we can shut up about all this prognostication.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to do your big cue, or did we want to...
No, let's keep going comments, yeah.
Okay. So first one is just a shout out to Forrest. So is... as honest as he was. So Craig, Forrest will always be a legend on and off the field. Amen, Craig. Craig being honest is always a great thing. Respect. So Forrest getting some love. And then Trouty Trout 3809, one of my favorite commenters. Yes, keep leaving your thoughts and opinions. So outstanding stuff from everyone. Panel was in rare form today. There's no other show like Footy Prime, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So that's always nice to hear. So thank you. So he's just talking about Jesse. Guy's been outstanding. And the extra bonus, and this plugs into Forrest here, hence me including it. Extra bonus is we get to piss off Americans for another 4 years. Which I loved. And then Jeff D. Salisbury said, Josh Cloak versus James Sharman inside the squared circle at halftime of Canada versus Uzbekistan.
Just to be clear, me and Josh are mates, and we'll likely have a few beers this next few days. Just to be
clear. I love Trody McChoat-Trot.
I know.
That's a great name.
So this is some random numpty on Twitter. Oh, no, it's James Sharman. So he says,
this will be very insightful.
Yeah, things we learned from Jesse Marsh today. So everybody probably knows this already, but just an update on the injured players. So Fonzie will make the opener probably later. Moyes had 32 minutes versus the USL side. Promise, incredible progress, looking good. Alfie set for full training. And Ali Ahmed, and it's the nature of the injury, is the hamstring, set for partial training. Which is great. And I have from there segue into Chris Jones, who wrote a great article on CBC. And promise, David, we talked about why he's needed for the vibes, but I think why he's needed because he's a prolific scorer. So things are looking very good for Promise in his recovery. So one of the quotes from Promise in this article says, oh my God, I loved the drugs. It wasn't even sleep. It was like time travel. I woke up and started terrorizing the hospital. I was flirting with nurses. I was revealing dark past secrets. So great. Like, this guy is just a walking quote machine.
What's the other one he said? He said he's pretty sure that if he lost a limb, he could regrow it.
Yeah. But if he gets a cold, he's dying.
Which is great.
I promise David is going to turn out to be the most marketable Canadian athlete in the world. I really do.
Yeah.
If he has a big, I mean, let's hope, please be at least healthy enough to contribute. If he has a big World Cup, man, he's that brand is going to explode here. I know he's not on ice. Too bad he can't skate, because there's no one in the hockey world who has that personality. There's just no one. He's really something. He's a gem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope it all works out well for him as well. He's obviously progressing really well, so that's good news.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like that crossover star that Canada needs to jump on the bandwagon of soccer. In this country, maybe it's by way of the personality of Promise David.
Maybe you're right. Maybe Promise David can drive the Canadian soccer narrative in the direction we've been hoping for generations.
And if he was driving it, what would he be at the wheel of? It would be like a beaten up old VW van, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Like psychedelic.
The old Scooby-Doo VW vans, right?
Yeah.
And the new ones are kind of electric and really cool. But they're missing a little bit of soul.
I know.
Cheech and Chong.
There we go. It takes us back to the drugs comment for Promise. Yeah. Okay, and the last one here, I wanted to hear from Jimmy about this because it involves being a left back, and we know that Jimmy had that wand of a left foot. So this is from Smoke City FC on Twitter. He says, with Ralph in the mix, I'm feeling more at ease about the available pace at the center back position. I'm disappointed though that Sam Adekube's recovery is not there yet. Without Fonzie available, he's a huge miss on the left side. Richie's been serviceable, and I disagree with that choice of words, but his lack of a natural left foot is noticeable when we attack down the left. The pitch opens up differently on your natural side. You see passes and lanes that you don't see on your quote unquote offside.
I agree with him for a lot of that, of course. And, you know, with Prezo at center back, his pace, we need that. We need him in this squad. Sam Adekube, I think, is a terrific left back. I really do. He's got a good engine, can get up and down the line, and he is a natural lefty. And with what he's saying with Richie, now Richie's been probably arguably the best player that we've had on this national team over the last couple of years, probably. But I understand what he's saying, because I mean, there's a couple of times where Richie gets on that side and he gets into those certain areas, and it is his left foot. And, you know, naturally, if he was on his right, it'd be just like a little clip or a little drawback. And sometimes it's a little off balance, I understand. But Richie will do a job at left back regardless, because he, even though he is a righty, his left foot is really good. It's fantastic. But I understand what he's saying, as opposed to a natural left footer. Just feeling that ball and just the delivery at times, being a natural lefty as opposed to a righty.
But when did inverted fullbacks and wingers become kind of cool? It was only the last number of years, right?
Nah, it's been a while. Yeah, just every manager's got certain ideas of where they want fullbacks to drift in to overload certain situations. Whether you're going high or you're coming inside, mm-hmm. going three at the back. Box in the middle.
Little bit of a concern maybe on size level, physically, set pieces, opening up against Bosnia, for instance. It might be difficult to deal with that, you know, lacking some physical presence there.
Forrest, do you want to share the scenario, the hypothetical one that you shared in the dark web last night? Like if Bombito isn't ready to go, if Cornelius, something happens, who you go with as your kind of contingency plan for your center backs?
Yeah. Lots of discussion. I feel like it was, our discussion was kind of what's going on in Jesse's head.
Right.
What are we doing here at center back? What's going on? Said, okay, if Bombito and Cornelius are injured, what are we going to do? I think Jimmy said, we're fucked.
Yeah. Don't disagree.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Completely different look if those two aren't healthy. But what do we do in that center back position? I mean, Preso seems to be a popular choice.
Mm-hmm.
But what do? You move, you know, somebody else that's not comfortable, necessarily comfortable or naturally comfortable at that center back position, and move somebody in to that position? Like, who can do that comfortably that's familiar with it?
Yeah. Well, your two first options, I think, would be Preso and Waterman or Luke DeFrugerol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at a pinch, if they weren't ready, then I don't know, I said even put having Johnson move into that right-sided center back position and have Richie Lurie on the right.
Mm-hmm.
Just for Johnson because of his height and physicality.
Or even I suggested even Richie in the middle. And then we've seen Alistair Johnston flip over from the right back to the left back, right? We've seen that before, if needs must. But I like Jimmy's shout to have the size of and the, you know, how combative he is, how physical he is, so we can compete elbows up kind of in the box, defending those big bodies for Bosnia.
I think Richie's played few reps at centre back at times at TFC when needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's filled in. But Richie's the type of guy, he can play centre midfield, his centre back, right back, left back. You ask Richie, play striker, he plays striker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I just add one thing as a caveat to Bombito? Like he's talking about, you know, his leg feels good. He's ready to get some minutes. He got 32. He's hoping to get maybe up to a half versus Uzbekistan, building up against Ireland, then maybe like an hour in that opening match versus Bosnia on June 12th. But in Alex Gongi-Ruzic's article on One Soccer, he said that in the last 12 months, Bombito has played just 1.5 matches for club and country, which is a massive worry.
In the last how long, sorry?
In the last year, in the last 12 months.
Wow, yeah.
It's nothing. And there's in the 2024-2025 campaign, he played almost 3,000 minutes across 35 matches for Nice and 630 minutes and 7 appearances for the Canadian men's national team.
But he did play 32 minutes last week.
Well, that fixes everything.
That's one. But Uzbekistan and Ireland, right? I mean, yeah. If you don't see Moyes out there for either of those games, then that's a massive problem.
Yep.
Massive problem. So let's not worry until we see the 11s. Let's not worry until we see the squad on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I know Jesse's spinning this and he has to about all this positive. All these guys are getting back. And like we said last podcast, it is great they're getting back. But the over bearing theme here is this is all bad news. These guys are even in the conversation about can they get the minutes, how many minutes. It's a problem. And someone mentioned it, but the excuses are already there. And quite honestly, it's you want to be optimistic, but they are relevant excuses if this thing goes pear-shaped, I think. But let's not go there right now. Let's worry about that if it happens. But you know, it is relevant, I think. Listen, I've got to go. You guys want to continue or shall
no,
we?
No, let's wrap, but let's preview quickly. So tomorrow dropping is a great interview with DB Pridham. That will be Friday morning. And then I want to preview as well that we will be dropping a podcast after the roster reveal show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. At some point tomorrow night. We're not sure when just yet. Okay. Well, listen, that's Footy Prime for this Thursday. Check out the previous podcast this week. We had a broadcast yesterday, which is on my iPhone for my flight today, Dubs. Make sure you like and subscribe. And as you hear, you leave comments because we do get to them. And that you saved us today. You drove some great conversation, I think. So thank you very much, all those that contributed. Those that didn't get their comments read out, just do better.
Better comments. Be more controversial.
Be more controversial.
Yep. More of a hot take, please. Yeah.
Please. That'd be great. All right. Until then, listen, BetMGM is your one-stop shop.
No.
Make it legendary.
Not it.
Yeah. Make it legendary. Wonga, I hope you're feeling great when you wake up and listen to this. And JC, thank you for all you do. Thank you for your service. Later. Bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at @footyprimeig and on Twitter at @footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com to sign up for our newsletter.
All right. Good job. Thanks.